You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York. You are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. We're back. I'm Andrew Wiebe. With me, as always, Dave Goss, hanging out in the aquarium.
Dave.
It's been like 2 weeks, man. I don't know what I'd do without soccer talk with you.
Yeah, I know. It's been, I think it's been brutal for the people.
Brutal? You think it's worse on them than it is for us?
Oh, absolutely. Well, me and you were talking Liga MX Finals,
oh,
whatever you
want
to call
yes.
what that thing was, which was awesome.
Yes, a train wreck, car crash, a pileup.
A WWE-style
yes,
melee.
Yes, it was thrilling. It was.
So we were talking a little soccer.
We were doing a little bit. A little
peppered
text thread.
Peppered in a little bit.
Maybe get the people in on the text thread. Look, hey, welcome back with us. We got a big show for you today, and the reason is it's because there's so much to talk about. When you take this much time off, and look, Dave and I needed it. We definitely did. Had to get a breather. You got a lot to catch up on because it's the middle of the MLS silly season and signings have been happening. You know, Generation Adidas classes have been announced. San Jose has a new general manager. There's a couple new DPs in the league. Bruce Arena called in 32 players, all of them from MLS for his first ever January camp. I mean, it's getting crazy and it's not going to slow down. And you know how I know that? Listen to these numbers right here. 3. That's how many days until the MLS Combine begins. 5. That's how many days until the U.S. reports for January camp. 8. That's how many days until the Super Draft in L.A. 18. That's the start of MLS preseason on January 23rd. 23. That's Bruce Arena's first game in charge against Serbia in San Diego. 47. CCL action. Red Bulls, Vancouver, Dallas, Arabia Unido. That all opens up. 56 days till the first match of the season and 77 days until the first Hex game with Bruce and the boys. I mean, it's piling up on us now. We had our break. We had our 2 weeks. We got our breather. It's back at it. Let's just jump into everything right now. Before we do, remember the combine's going to start. You and I, your bags are packed. I mean,
my bags are packed. I'm ready to go.
You're sitting next to
outside the door.
Here in the aquarium, we've got a very large suitcase because Dave –
I packed everything.
I was
going
to say, Dave's not a very efficient packer. He's headed to L.A. I'm headed to L.A. on Saturday. You and I teaming up on the streams for the Combine. We'll talk about those a little bit in the second segment. There's also going to be coverage on the ground from ourselves, Matt Doyle, Siggy Schmidt, Sam Stachel. And then, of course, the Super Draft will be streamed on January 13th on MLSsoccer.com. Yeah, let's jump into it. And let's talk about Batman and Superman. Who are they?
They're
superheroes.
DC characters.
Yeah.
We've already established that.
Are they DC?
Yes.
Okay.
You guys didn't know that.
Did I not know that? Or
yeah. Or Kalen didn't know that.
Okay.
One of
you knew
didn't.
That. Though.
I said it. Didn't say it confidently just because we weren't having that conversation.
Yeah, we got called out a little bit on that. If you don't know.
Deservedly.
Deservedly. You're right. Our pop culture credentials are.
I watched Batman vs. Superman, by the way, over break.
I did
watched
too,
a
actually.
Ton of
I actually
movies.
Did, yeah,
that
I
movie was bad.
It actually was very bad.
That movie was bad.
It was poor. It was one of those where you're like texting about 30 minutes in. And
you're like, I
you're
can't believe
watching.
That this. It's kind of like you're waiting for it to get good, and you're like, oh, it's not going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
Wonder Woman was good.
Yeah,
she was
I didn't
character.
See that one. So I was.
She was in that
I
movie.
Was swinging a whiff on that one. Batman. That's Miguel Ibarra. Maybe you're familiar with him from his days back with Minnesota United in ASL. He was the MVP in 2014. He also was the first second division player in. Oh, I don't know, in a long time to be called up by Jurgen Klinsmann for the U.S. national team. That got him a move to Club León in Liga MX, a deal maybe worth about $1 million, according to reports. Well, he's back with Minnesota United. I really think that's the way it should be, and you know who's next to him. It's his partner in crime, Superman, although in this case they're working together. They're not fighting. So, yeah, Christian Ramirez, we've talked about him a lot. He signed with the club, also had a Liga MX interest. These are two guys that they basically built that NASL team around and built a lot of the success around with these two. If you look at Ramirez, 51 goals over 3 NASL seasons. He had, I think he had a 20-goal season in 14 and still didn't win the MVP. That went to Ibarra that year. 18 in 2016, best 11. I mean, they're building here. And they got Francisco Calvo. So yeah. Minnesota, we talked a lot about their slow starts, not as slow anymore.
Yeah, we're going to see, obviously, I think one of the problems they're going to face, as well as Atlanta, right, is you're putting this all together for the first time.
Right.
And it seems theirs is obviously happening later, but I think over the next week we're going to start to see what their team really looks like because they have the number one pick in the draft as well. There are a couple forwards and attackers at the top of that list. You have Johan Venegas already on the team. So you might have a solid staple of four or five attacking players on your team before you even maybe make a bigger signing.
It looks like right now you would think Ramirez up top, you know, they always could jump in with a DP signing, but I think the number on Ramirez is not going to be small because of kind of the competition with Liga MX. And he said, like, I was 12 hours away from signing with a different team, but I wanted to be in Minnesota, and they made it happen for me. So you have him up top, maybe Venegas underneath. That's where he says he likes to play. Ibarra probably on the left. And then you're looking for one guy and then depth in competition.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that those four are going to walk in and be a MLS playoff team attack, but they got a chance to do something special, and I think a lot of us didn't see a lot of this coming. And Francisco Calvo, if you don't know him out there, this dude scores. 24-year-old, left-back, center-back, probably will play center-back, you would think, for this team. But I think he had like 9 goals last season
like
for Saprissa.
He's very good at attacking the ball in there. He's not that tall.
No, he's not.
He plays at center-back, and he's unbelievable on the end of set pieces. For a guy that doesn't have that much size, he just, you know, is one of those dudes who's determined to get there. Yeah, all of that looks like clean. I mean, we already know they have Saeed and Warner in midfield, which are pieces that – obviously, I rock my Colin Warner TFC jersey all week.
It's just too bad that Doyle's not here with us today. He will be next week at the Combine, by the way. We'll have two really good shows out there because we'll be on the ground and we'll be talking to folks and everything else. You'll want the inside scoop there because Colin Martin, they picked up as well from DC United, and he's been beating the drink. Just go ahead and drink.
Is that
he's not
a
here,
Doyle
just drink.
One?
It's definitely
I didn't
even a drink.
Know that.
Yeah, he's been beating that drum for like 2 years. Play the kid, play the kid, play the kid. He's been injury prone, but now he's in Minnesota with a little bit of a restart going there. I mentioned San Jose, they signed a GM. Finally, this has been going on for a long time. Dave Cavill hired a search firm. They went through a lot of candidates. They restarted the search, basically, because they weren't happy with what they had. What they ended with is Jesse Fiorinelli, who is a Maryland native who nobody knows. I'm just going to say it. Nobody knows who this dude is, and it is a little bit of a left-field signing, as Jeff Carlisle of ESPN said, and, of course, he's very plugged in there in San Jose. But an American, but has held senior positions at Roma, Lazio, and was it Samsunspor?
Samsunspor.
Yeah, in Turkey. So he's been kind of behind the scenes. He was helping build up AS Roma under this American ownership group. He was also a player agent. I also think he speaks four languages based on the release the Quakes put out. This, Dave, to me, just, you know, bang the gavel, bang the gavel, bang the gavel on the we need better DPs. That's what this smells like to me, a guy who has the contacts, who has the chops to go out and make some big signings.
They also already have a guy in Dom Kinnear, as well as Chris Leach, that know MLS, and they know that side of it.
Right.
So the idea, I think, I mean, we saw from who they were interviewing to close
fill in the
down
gaps that they
in
have,
Mexico, was a little bit of sparkle star power, not Tim Leiweke, but basically that, someone who can get into the room with some of these bigger names, who can maybe make big hopes, big aspirations, and try and bring some people in. Because they get good veterans. They just don't surround
the
star players.
Been.
Right.
Yeah. Where have those been? And I think it's not even about the top level with him, right? I mean, it's maybe about that mid-level. And we'll talk about some of those guys here in a little bit because there have been a rash of DP signings while we were away. But a lot of those guys are not the, you know, if you're talking about the Oscar Romeros of the world, they're not the Kakas of the world. They're not the Frank Lampards of the world. They're solid pros in the prime of their careers that can make a big difference in MLS. That's the sort of guy I think they're going to want to go out from with as well. Look, it has been a quiet offseason from the Quakes. That makes sense. They haven't had a GM, but they did sign a right back, Nick Lima, homegrown deal from Cal. A lot of people high on him, of course.
Seems like he could be an MLS star.
Of course, we'll talk a lot more about some of these college players in the second segment and next week. Speaking of DPs coming out of Europe, it looks like RSL are about to sign a number 10, a 22-year-old Slovakian. Albert Rusnak from Groningen, who I'm pretty sure MLS clubs are just raiding. Like, Groningen's whole business principle is just based on MLS clubs rolling in for him. 22-year-old, started in Man City's academy, never really stuck there, bounced around on loan a little bit. 76 appearances for Groningen, 12 goals. One cap with Slovakia, but they've got some attacking talent at that number 10.
Also, I'm not taking away from him. I think his dad was the head of the youth academy at Man City.
Okay.
So it wasn't like he – I don't know how he ended up there, but I think that was
obviously
part
he has
of
some talent, though.
Yeah. And RSL needed good news, right? I mean, this was a team that looked like they could be on the edge if they could add, and then they lose Burrito, and obviously Javi Moe is done. But if they can get a little bit of depth on the back line, and this guy
Aaron Mond re-signed, by the way, just throwing that up.
If this guy can give you some production similar to what you got from Burrito,
I think this guy's a number 10, though, right? I mean, he's going to play in the middle, no?
Yeah, but – well, right. But you lost Burrito and Javi Mo.
Right.
You have
so
to replace
you've lost
that.
Your creative fulcrums.
Yeah. Yeah. And Javi Mo wasn't really healthy last year, and they struggled to score down the stretch. And hopefully if this guy maybe rather than playing out on the wing, like you said, a number 10 can pull some strings a little bit more, open up play for his teammates. It can make life easier for Plata and for Jura. Because Plata and Jura are two of the better attackers in the league.
Agreed.
That team
you get them
has
on the ball
talent.
In the right spots. They could be very, very dangerous. He's not official yet. We want to say that. Although he showed up at the RSL airport today and was greeted by fans and Craig Weibel.
The
so.
Team, Groningen, has said that they agreed to the transfer, so it's just his personal
terms.
Deal.
Now, I did just get a press release here from RSL that says, big announcement tomorrow. So I would assume that would be some guy named Albert Rusnak. That's going to be really fun, though. 22-year-old number 10 out of Europe. I mean,
these are the signings that teams are starting to make. It's that. Young European and young South American signings, the Mauro Diaz style, that have been really successful over the last few years. It's a little bit less sure because you don't have a body of work to work
on. But there's upside there. Yeah. There's definitely upside there. They got another midfielder as well, RSL. Jose Hernandez out of UCLA. So we'll talk about the Super Draft, but a big reason why some people say that its influence is going down year by year by year are these homegrown signings, because RSL signed a 20-year-old kid who was the Pac-10 co-player of the year last year. Who was the rookie of the year before. 5'6 kid came out of their academy, got a good chance to impact this club over time. They also signed a backup goalkeeper, Matt Van Okel, from Ottawa, I believe? No, Edmonton. He was the goalkeeper of the year last year in NASL. So did a good bit of business there, backed it up after Jeff Atanella went on to Portland. So that's good news for them. Biggest news, though, Mike Pecky. Mike Pecky, my guy. Oh, man. Real Monarchs head coach now. Good to see Mike Pecky resurface with the Monarchs here in USL. We'll see how well he does with them, how he helps that talent develop. More DPs, Dave. Crew SC.
Yeah, this was a cool one.
Splashy.
Jonathan Mensah.
Yeah.
It's a good signing. He's a guy that you've watched. I mean, as US fans, we watch Ghana a lot because we play them all the time. But he's a guy who's been a starter for them for like 6 years now.
2010 and 2014, he played in both those games.
And he's only 26 years old.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys who you kind of – he moved around a bunch and was in – you never really watched him with his club because he was in Russia. He was in France. Like, he wasn't always on the fringe, but in the international game, you saw him as a main guy. Crew not saying all on the roster right now because Saro's hurt and – Parkhurst they traded, but they've invested at the center back position.
Yeah, they're not scared to do that.
When other MLS teams don't, because we're looking at the Super Draft and it's a deep center back. We'll talk about it in the second segment. And almost every team you look at is like, well, they could use a center back. But the Crew, and they struggled defensively before Saro got there, and that's why they went out. But Nikolai Ness.
But remember, when he got there, that was what helped spark that run to MLS Cup. And then last year, they were just off the rails in large part.
So they go, they lose Saro for the year. They go and get Mensah. They signed
Josh
a homegrown
Williams.
As well. They signed Josh Williams.
Yep.
I think their back line's solid, but I don't know that Pipo Higuain can lead that team. So the Junior Flores rumors, which were going hot, he's still at Dortmund. Steve Goff kind of threw some water on that, saying it's not going to happen. I don't know that there's enough in that midfield right now, unless Will Trapp can return to a level where he's
and
an
Tony
MLS Chani. All-star.
And Tony Chani. It's not just Will Trapp. It is Tony Chani as well. But you're right. There is some talent on this team. Ola Kamara, we saw last year, he can bang in the goals. Miram, Finley, they can do it. They have depth in those wing positions. They even have depth behind Kamara, I think. It does come down to chance creation, getting them in the best spots, and then it comes down to defense because that was a real problem last year. And remember, goalkeeper may still be a little bit of an issue. Zach Steffen looks like he's atop the depth chart. Not a guy with a ton of first-team experience. Young guy, ton of talent. We know that, but you just never know when you plug these guys
also,
in.
Also, one of the things we're throwing out there is these guys, MLS is a risk at times for guys because they don't know anything about it. It's a large move. Knowing someone is big. Harrison Offal, you can guarantee that has something to do with this signing. We've seen it with Flaco Fernandez and Nico Lodero. So having just these connections, and that's what we're talking about with San Jose, having a personal connection, having a guy who has a personal connection in the wider soccer world makes it easier to make these signings.
It definitely does. Jonathan Mensah, a guy they believe will basically just slot in there and make everybody around him better, and I think that's the whole point. Saro's gone. Well, we have a like-for-like replacement that we think is probably better, and we've got three guys to find a solution.
And
next
Ness
time.
Can play in midfield. It looked good in midfield. So it gives you that flexibility if Krongale is ready to go. I don't know that Josh Williams is a week-to-week starter in MLS at center.
But he can give you some time. There's no doubt about that. More DP signings. That'll be a little bit of a trend here, as well as Tam and Gam, and, well, I am Sam. Sporting KC, Gerso Fernandez, DP deal from Belenense. He's a left winger, maybe right winger sometimes. He's definitely left-footed, 25 years old. Peter Vermees says they've been following him for a long time. He's not a goal scorer, at least historically. One goal, five assists so far in half a season in Portugal. He's been there for a while. He's bounced around between a couple different teams. But Kansas City, Dave, has hit home runs in Portugal before. They've got Aurelien Colin out of there. That was obviously a great signing for them, helped them win MLS Cup. I'm going to hesitate to say that Haitian Javi was a great signing out of Portugal, but I still just love Peterson Joseph, and I will make a Haitian Javi reference every single chance I can get. And now they're getting Eric Palmer Brown back for preseason. He's in the last year of his contract. They're still interested in him in Europe. Doesn't look like it's going to work out with Porto for now. That could change.
Oh, a young American went to Benfica yesterday.
Oh, yeah? Who?
Central midfielder. I can't remember his name right now.
Great aside there. What do you think about Gerso Fernandez, though? This was the piece we've been calling for.
This is
a piece
the position
like
they needed to
right,
improve in.
Right.
Dom Dwyer needs help offensively. I think that the way Sporting KC plays will allow him to score more goals because it'll put him closer to goal because of the way that they use their wingers that a lot of teams don't use them.
Jacob Peterson is Exhibit A from last year.
Yeah, Christian Nemeth was Exhibit B. And
well, I guess he was A1, yeah. Christian Nemeth. So, yeah, okay.
it goes and goes and goes. So I think that I wouldn't worry about that number or what he did. He also, I think, was a late bloomer in Portugal. He was a guy who wasn't really recognized until he got a little older. So he hasn't maybe played at the highest level as long as you'd expect a 26-year-old to have done. But like you said, PV knows what he wants. He knows what he's doing. We're talking about this team. It kind of we kept asking, do they need a full rebuild last year? So they're not doing that.
No, they're definitely not.
But if he can add two pieces and the other one is
Latif Blessing is – I mean,
which is an unreal name.
Yeah, it is a pantheon name, even for MLS. 19-year-old Ghanaian kid, was the MVP of the Ghanaian Premier League, had 17 goals. That's not official yet. But KC Star is reporting it. A lot of folks are kind of banking on it. Maybe that's just a paperwork deal as we come into January. But with those guys, the depth that they had, Graham Zusi coming back, you would expect fully fit after having a little bit of an up-and-down year last year.
Although Graham Zusi might be a fullback now.
He might at the U.S. national team level.
Bruce
Good
Arena.
Tease. We'll talk about that after the break. There's some possibilities here for Sporting Kansas City, and I can't imagine that they're done so far. Eric Palmer Brown is an interesting one, though. 19 years old,
he
starter for Porto B. He does want to be in Europe. There's no doubt about that. And he has the U-20 World Cup coming up this year, so he's probably not going to be around too much.
From everything we heard, he did well in Portugal. I mean, even Sporting KC and Peter Vermees said they like him over there. He's getting playing time. He got a little bit of training with the first team. So I think he has the potential to go there, which means that you might be able to get a little bit of money to use somewhere else because I don't know that they need him as a starter. I don't know that he's the piece they need to get to MLS Cup. So why not take that money,
right.
Let the kid go where he wants to go?
So best case scenario, as I see it for Sporting Kansas City, he goes to U-20 World Cup, he kills it, jacks up the price with 6 months left on the deal because that's already a tough negotiating position, and you move him on and you rebuild from there and you have this kind of feather in your cap that this guy came through your academy. If you get some games before that with him, that's pretty good as well. So lots going on there. We mentioned Calvo. We'll get to that in a second, but I want to talk FC Dallas real quick because apparently Fabian Castillo's fate is going to be known by Saturday, Dave. That is whether Trabzonspor will basically purchase him outright or end his loan and send him back to Dallas. And if that happens, it looks like Dallas is getting interest from Club America. What would you do if you were Fernando Clavijo?
I think you have to sell him. I don't think you can bring him back to your team after the mess you had. You also replaced him this offseason. You said you did. I mean,
Roland Lama, yeah.
Right. We've not seen him play yet for the team,
right,
but that was
that was the message.
That was the point. And you were good enough, I think, if you can replace that position to move forward. If you can sell Castillo and use that money to reinvest in a number nine, I mean, you're sitting pretty. And Castillo, I think, is good enough to play for Club America. We both watch a ton of Liga MX. I mean, he is a good enough player. He has the quality to be a starter in Liga MX for a time.
And Darwin Quintero gone. A couple guys gone off that América team. There are some holes that they're definitely looking to fill. I don't know if you probably heard. Javier Morales is done. That's a done deal to FC Dallas. So looks like he'll fill in at that number 10 spot while Mauro Diaz recovers from that Achilles injury. Let's talk a little bit more about their rivals, the Dynamo, because I love what they're doing. I mean,
love it.
Albirth,
love it.
We're just going to call him Albirth. I think it's a one-name player now, Albirth. No, you
I don't
like
know.
That.
What's wrong with Elise?
I don't know. I guess it's good, but I guess Elise could be the name. I just like Albirth. I really do like that. Of course, you know about him, 20-year-old DP forward on loan down there from Liga MX. He also signed Romel Kyoto, who's a 25-year-old forward winger, also Honduran national team player, a little bit more on the fringes with Honduras he is. They also signed Leonardo from that Stage 2 reentry draft out of L.A. Adolfo Machado signed him as well.
I really like Machado.
31-year-old Panamanian defender.
Yeah. He's just, I mean, if anyone remembers them against the Timbers, him and Adi went at it at one point. And he's just a monster of a man. And he moves well. I think he's a really good pickup for them because they've just been shaky at center back for the last 4 years or whatever. And all of these moves I really, really like. And then the biggest question left is Wilmer Cabrera and Kubo back together. I mean, he's put pieces around Kubo that he could be successful. They don't need him to be. They can move him around and they can put one of these other guys in at center forward.
Manota, Celis.
Yeah. Yep. But if he can be close to what he was, Elise will set him up. Elise will create chances for him. That could be dangerous.
Could be huge. He's back. Did not get that loan done permanently down south of the border. So we'll see what we can do with Wilmer Cabrera. He'll have a destroyer behind him that they really like, Juan David Cabezas. He's in on loan from Deportivo Cali. He won the Apertura with Medellin last fall in Colombia. 25-year-old, D-mid, really tries to break up play. Him and Rico Clark there, you'd think maybe in the middle, one of those playing the eight, probably Rico in that sense. Who Rico, by the way, says, no way I'm retiring. He's got a couple more years on his deal. He's just hanging out. I do really like what's going on with this team right now. I can't wait to talk to Wilmer Cabrera down in Los Angeles. We'll get that to you as well after we do all that. But the trend is there. Saprissa, we've said that club name like four or five times, all with incoming transactions to MLS. A little bit of insight for you. If you recognize the name Kurt Morsink, do you, Dave? Do you remember Kurt Morsink?
I read the article.
Oh, okay. Well, I forgot I sent that to you. So Kurt Morsink, former KC Wizards, I almost call it Sporting Kansas City, former DC United player, then on the coaching staff, was a scout for DC, now a agent. He was basically behind a lot of these moves, it seems like. David Guzman, DM, Saprissa captain, going to Portland, probably going to play that number six. Maybe they go to a diamond. We'll see how that goes. Roy Miller, he got signed by Portland as well out of Saprissa. Who else from out of Saprissa here?
And by the way, because I know that there's a ton of New York fans who are chuckling about that, guy's a pretty good center back. He's not left back anymore, but he could still play center back in MLS, and Portland needs it.
Definitely need that depth back there. Then, you know, if you're talking about from other places as well, out of Costa Rica, we got Salvatierra, who we talked about, to Dallas, that left wing back.
Ortiz.
Guillermo Ortiz. He had, 16 goals with Aloense last year? I mean, it's starting to be a trend here, and it's 23, 24 till about 28, 29, other than Machado. So
and
it's guys
Marvin
in the prime.
And Gula, who's the star of Saprissa, their number 10. Still, there's been rumors all over MLS that he has the potential to come. He's a dude that could be, you know, a go-to number 10 in MLS still. And it's phenomenal. We have talked about it on this show. CONCACAF players in their prime that can play at the highest level. Honduran, Jamaican, Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, you see all
Panamanian.
These
teams. Bring them. It really makes this league fun. And this offseason has been a blast watching those. I was going through all the rumors when I got back because I basically came out of a soccer coma where I just had to take a break. And my eyes were just getting wide.
Well, I texted
just over
you.
And over and over, like, oh, my God, what, this guy?
Yeah, I texted you when we were talking about the show. I was just like, I like what the Dynamo are doing. Chicago Fire, another team I'm interested by. But Dynamo are doing it with a lot of guys that people maybe haven't seen before. But that first month of the season is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah,
them play.
No doubt about that. Did we talk about, speaking of the Fire, did we talk about Nemanja Nikolic? Did we? I don't know if we did.
I don't know if we did.
I don't know if we did either. 29. They got the DP signing up top. This is what they were looking for. 29-year-old. He's a little on the back end, but they're getting him right in the prime. They hope. Hungarian. He spent the last year and a half with Legia Warsaw. 41 goals in 58 league matches. He won the Player of the Year in the Polish League, and the Golden Boot has some potential. Michael Delu behind him, you would think, who played up top some last year, but really is better as that second forward.
Is
and then
he?
David Akam.
Is he, though?
He says he is.
Yeah.
He says he is. I don't know that I know anything about his best position because last year was such a
weird year for that team. He did not look good out wide.
No.
He does not look
I don't think he can. I don't think you want to play him out
right.
wide.
So you're playing now, what, a 4-3-1? A 4-2-3-1 with Akam on one side. My issue is you don't want to close down the amount of space Akam has to run at people, right? You want Akam on an island one-on-one with the
Agreed.
Defender as much as humanly possible. So you have to find a way to set that team up where you have two forwards, but you also have space for him to work out wide.
Luckily, they've got somebody to protect that back line. Janino.
And to spray those passes.
Yeah, I think we know that name pretty well here around these parts. Couple winless cups with the LA Galaxy. just wasn't going well for him at Tijuana.
Then he got hurt.
Yeah, then he
got
hurt.
So he did play
well.
That's
what I'm saying.
There.
The beginning was, but the recent was not so good, and he became surplus requirements. That happens down in Mexico from time to time. So Fire move into that second spot in the allocation order. Of course, Atlanta pass on him because they got bigger fish to fry coming in. Still, cough, cough, you figure is Brad Guzan, although that hasn't happened yet. Fire jump in, grab him. Big move for them.
Great signing.
Big move for them. 27 years old, right in the prime of his career.
Knows the league. You know he's going to produce from day one. The other thing about him is he's played with a lot of different partners, so it gives you still flexibility. Obviously, Schweinsteiger is the rumor right now. Now, all of a sudden, he gets into the first team on the bench for the first time all season.
Surprise, surprise.
Yesterday, yeah. Mourinho says he wants a transfer fee. But this move allows you then, if you do get Schweinsteiger, he's a great partner for him. If not, you have flexibility in what else you can look for because he can play a little bit more forward. He can play behind people. We've seen him play with big stars where he carries the water. We've seen him, I think, be most successful alongside Sarvas in his career. So he's just got a lot of potential. Sees the pass so well. Clean first touch. Can cover ground. Can protect that back line. I think they're one defensive piece. And
this
that
is,
central
this is the beautiful part of MLS offseason, right? That you can sell yourself on any team.
Right.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, man, you know what? I just got a feeling about the Chicago Fire, man. Luis Solanac also re-signed for them here today. Running through some other stuff, Atlanta United, I mentioned Oscar Romero a little bit earlier. Shanghai swooped in. Atlanta United did not get him. They did get Greg Garza, though, which is a name you should know, also from Tijuana, a U.S. national team player, left back. So you figure he plugs in. And there's some rumors, man. Martin DeMichelis, Darwin Quintero, those are one thing. This Yamil Assad rumor, though, I could buy that one. Velez Sarsfield, 24-year-old cat, central midfielder, creative guy. Maybe he's the one that fits in the middle of that that formation there. We'll have to see about that. Seattle also making moves, but they're not going outside of MLS just yet. They traded for Will Bruin, 27. Look, he's a Nelson Valdez replacement. I think that's pretty clear. Much less money, great goal scoring. Record in MLS, although not as good the last couple years, 50 and 178. And they went and grabbed Harry Shipp, 25 still. He's going to be basically Ivanchitz, I would think. Kind of a wide guy that can fill in those roles, maybe play centrally if you need him to. But Garth Lagerwey sticking within the league for now.
And I mean, I really like both those moves. I really like the Will Bruin move because it allows you to get some flexibility with Jordan Morris. It's a dude who's experienced in this league, who scored some goals. It'll be nice to see him get a change of scenery just because he's always played for the same team and he's been so up and down at times. And then you like the idea from Garth that he built an MLS Cup championship spine, and now he's going to fill in with those MLS veterans here and there. And I like those two moves, and it's also exciting for, I think, U.S. fans because they're two guys where if this is the right spot and they can have a good run, I mean, if Harry Shipp, if this is the right spot for him, with the players he's playing with, he could put up some production.
And which is not to say that he's going to be a guy who gets, you know, who's capped every game. But he becomes an option for Bruce Arena. And 32 players, all MLS, called in for January. I know that won't be the deal in March, but it's still pretty interesting. Before we get out of here and go to break, a couple other things to run down through really quick. Jermaine Jones, I mean, LA has his rights. No word on that for now. Based on social media, he's been taking some pretty sweet vacations with the fam. So just hanging out for now. We'll see what happens with that. Masato Kudo, Vancouver Whitecaps forward, headed back to Japan. Will Johnson signed a two-year deal in Orlando. They also signed the Lions, signed the Rowdies, Tampa Bay Rowdies, 22-year-old Brazilian left back, left mid, PC Giro. Charlie Davies re-signed with Philadelphia, and Philadelphia also announced today the signing of a left back from the Netherlands. I'm going to have to, you know, it just happened. I'm going to have to consult the pronunciation guide here. I'm not even going to try this one. But a guy who played under Ernie AZ early on was a youth international for the Netherlands, so a good signing for them. Maybe some depth behind Fabinho.
One quick question is, so the video came out showing the Orlando City Stadium. It looks awesome.
Oh, my God. It looks it's just
what are
incredible.
They doing on the field, though, right now? Will Johnson comes in like you've got a bunch of center mids that don't. You've got Chirino still. You've got Sarin still.
Higuita. No, Sarin got traded.
Sorry, you have Higuita still. Like, what's going on there? What's
to
the
me,
plan
to
right
me,
now?
It's an environment thing. Hey, come in here for 2 years, teach these guys how to win games in MLS. It's basically Jason Christ going out and looking for what he would think would be another coach on the field, I would think.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. It's been pretty slow in Orlando. There's no doubt about that. Let's see. There's some other rumors going out there, but I think we've exhausted all of it at this point. Hit us up if you have any questions. Extratime at MLSsoccer.com or at Extratime Radio on Twitter. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Super Draft signings and the U.S. national team's first roster under Bruce Arena.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email Extratime at MLSsoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. Andrew Wiebe, David Goss here on SiriusXM FC, Channel 85 at MLSsoccer.com. I mean, I'm practically out of breath here. I'm just recovering from that first segment. The numbers are these. 3 days until the MLS Combine begins. 8 days until the Super Draft in LA. That's on January 13th. You can watch the live stream at MLSsoccer.com. Noon Eastern, I believe. No, 3 p.m. Eastern. Noon Pacific. Getting all my schedules mixed up in my head right now. Dave, you and I on the ground calling those combine games. It's going to be a blast to get to see those guys in person. And we know some of the guys that we're going to see for sure. I believe, the field is set. There's no doubt about that. We know who is going to be there. 66 guys broken up into teams. Team Chaos, Team Control, Team Copa, and Team Nemesis with two Z's.
I'm going to have you not say team names on the broadcast. That's for sure.
I enjoy that. That's the most fun part.
That's now been established.
It's now been established. I have rules. I'm a professional.
But which team would you most like to play for?
Definitely Nemesis with two Z's.
Adding Z's are always a good thing.
Yes. Also, Team Chaos has a good ring to it when you say it like that. We know about the Generation Adidas class so far. 5 guys signed out of UCLA. Abu Dunladi, we kind of figured that was going to happen. Also UCLA, Jackson Ewell, Miles Robinson out of Syracuse, U.S. Youth International, a center back, one of those center backs you were talking about that's going to go really high. 2 Canadians, forward, Adonijé Reed. He is a guy who's a youth national team player, debuted at like 14 years old with their youth teams, so not bad. And then Shamit Shome, who's played for FC Edmonton in the Canadian U-20s.
Those are the first two ever Canadian GA signings, which is a new program that MLS is doing to help get more young Canadians into the league. So now you have more players who won't count against the cap, which means teams are going to take flyers on guys we've always seen with GA. You don't say no because
and you give them a couple years to develop.
And you see what happens. It's just a better way to get players in.
Anybody stand out there to you as you do your prep?
Of those five that you're talking about, Miles Robinson is pure potential and talent right now. So if your team takes him, they're taking a guy that they think can be a U.S. national team starter but isn't going to be playing for the next 2 years as a starter for your team. The other guys that you mentioned in that list, well, I don't know the two Canadians as well, but Dunladi and Ewell are guys that can be difference makers this year. And when you look back, the last few drafts, Kyle Larin, Jack Harrison, Keegan Rosenberry, guys that were taking those top 5 picks are difference makers in MLS. The question when you're looking at the draft right now is, Ewell's a Minnesota native. Ibo Bise out of Duke, who was signed and then played with the Charleston Battery, he's considered the top pick. Dunladi as well. So Minnesota, I think if Ewell wasn't from Minnesota, they would be taking Ibo Bise with the number one pick, no questions asked. Now I think it starts to become a little bit, well, do we want a local guy?
Do we want to trade some of that allocation money that we get for being an expansion team to maybe move up and get both of them? That'd be a nice little
– it would be a great addition.
Great little prize pack for you out of the Super Draft.
And we talked about the 3 attackers locked in. The 2 of them could share that other wide attacking role maybe over this first year.
You will also take the load off a lot of people like in central midfield. Some comparisons to Michael Bradley have been made. That's this time of year, though. These lead-ups to draft, you're like, oh, who could we compare them to? You always go high. These guys obviously have a lot to prove, a lot of time, but a lot of talent as well. Abu Dunladi may be the most talented guy in this list, but maybe the most unpredictable. Mm-hmm. He's a guy, I think, if you talk to a lot of teams, they say, we're not sure. We know he has the talent. We're not sure how he'll respond. A couple seniors also signed. This always happens as well. Brandon Aubrey out of Notre Dame. Julian Gressel out of Providence. Zico Lewis out of Boston College. And Brian Wright out of Vermont. Brian Wright, a big burly forward, based on what I know. Who do you like here?
Good athlete, Brian Wright. Scored some crazy goals. Not sure if he'll make it as a center forward at the next level. Zico Lewis plays international already, I believe, with Bahamas or Bermuda, one of the two. Sorry. Didn't have that on tap. And he can play out wide. He can play as a second forward. Quick, sets guys up. So he's a dude that I think could slot in and be useful immediately because of the style he plays. Brandon Aubrey's part of what is a loaded center back class. You have Aubrey, you have Walker Hume, you have down at North Carolina, you have a few other guys, Schmidt at University of Washington, Jordan Wilson, who's got a green card, although he's Scottish, but wouldn't count against your internationals, from Kentucky. So you have a bunch of big, strong center backs. And I think when you look at this list, there are a lot of teams that could use those guys. And when you look at Jonathan Campbell and other guys that have been successful in their first year, center back's a position that guys can come in from college, Axel Huberg, and be successful at. And so I think a few of those are going to get looked at. Aubrey played in central midfield and then moved back to center back. Good feet, can take set pieces as well. So there's a few interesting picks. I think if you're a team in the top 15 or 20 and you need a center back, I think this could be a good draft.
And we are going to go over all of this next week. We're going to be on the ground starting on Sunday for that first live stream. That starts at 1:15 Eastern on Sunday. You can watch both games, back-to-back games. Team Chaos, Team Control, Team Copa, and Team Nemesis. You're going to have to, like, shut me down before these broadcasts. I'm going to have too much fun with those. Tuesday are the second round of games. It's 1:15 Eastern start as well on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, the final round before the draft, 10 a.m. Eastern is when those start. And then, of course, the draft, January 13th, round 1 and 2, MLSsoccer.com. We'll stream that one for you, 3 p.m. Eastern. And then the third and the fourth rounds will go down on January 17th via conference call. Those are not as big a deal anymore. They don't do the full shebang. But for that live stream at MLSsoccer.com, I have Siggy Schmidt, Sasha Sharovsky. I mean, it's a packed group of talent there. And, you know, I might jump in there. That's not really talent, but I might be there as well if you want an ETR fix. And certainly Doyle will be there breaking it all down as well.
I don't believe I will. I think I'm going to be at the Tijuana game that night.
Oh.
Tentative plans. But boy, if anyone knows anything about getting tickets,
we're really mixing
and going to a Cholos
League
game.
MX here. Yeah. Remember, 8 days until the Super Draft, 3 days until the Combine begins. Then it all gets down on January 23rd when preseason starts. Before all that, though, January 10th, that's when the U.S. national team will gather for its January camp. Bruce Arena, actually the man who invented, quote-unquote invented, the January camp for the U.S. national team. He got that thing started back in his first stint with the U.S. Two games coming up at the end of the camp, January 29th against Serbia in San Diego, and then February 3rd against Jamaica. Those are two big games. That's in Chattanooga.
I was about to say, that one's in Chattanooga, and they're hosting Atlanta United. Atlanta United on February 11th. Is playing a friendly against Chattanooga, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Chattanooga getting some shine. Bruce Arena announced his coaching staff. No surprises here. Dave Sarakin, Pat Noonan, Kenny Arena, and the goalkeeper coach is Matt Reese. That's basically his LA Galaxy staff. He brought him right back in. Thomas Rongen is the head scout.
Love it.
Love it. No need for
love having him around the decisions.
T-Ronnie Ron.
The guy's a great soccer man.
Yeah, he is a legend in that sense, no doubt about that. Let's talk about the roster here. 32 players. 15 MLS clubs, all of them from MLS in this one. 7 uncapped players. You'll want to know who those are. Kakuta Mane and Stefan Fry, who are not yet eligible to play for the U.S. We have to say that. They're not ready to jump into these games, but they're able to train and be a part of this training camp. So getting a close look there. Both of them working towards citizenship. Keegan Rosenberry, Chris Pontius, Taylor Kemp, Walker Zimmerman, and Sebastian Legette. Also, guys, without caps, going up and down the roster. I mean, we won't go over this whole thing. You can go to MLSsoccer.com and check it out, USsoccer.com and check it out. Some notable names here. Luis Robles is in the fold. We knew Bingham, Ramondo, Hamid, those guys have been around. But Robles getting a look is interesting. DeMarcus Beasley, he has the unattached in parentheses next to his name, as does our guy, Jermaine Jones, also unattached. Two veterans in there. Bruce Arena trying to get more out of DeMarcus Beasley's legs. Still just 34. Birnbaum, Evans, Garza, Hedges, Kemp, Marshall, Rosenberry, Zimmerman, and Graham Zusi on the back line. Graham Zusi, Bruce Arena says, will be right back.
You could see it. The guy, I mean, he can cover a ton of ground. He bombs forward from the wing, like, in that way that it kind of looks like a fullback sometimes.
And final product with the U.S. has always kind of been the question at times. He's put in a great cross, and he and Josie have had some really good moments, and he scored some big goals, but it's that consistency. And he's got a great right foot. He can cross the ball, but he needs a little space to get it off. Right back could be the right play.
This is a good camp for him to do it because Yedlin's not there.
Right.
And so you don't have – you have starters at right back for this program, but you don't really in this camp. When you look at it, Keegan Rosenberry, obviously, but he's a rookie. And then outside of that, it's Brad Evans. So you don't really have a right back. So this is a good time to try that out because you don't really have anything else to lose. It's not like you're –
maybe an opportunity for Zusi just to hold on with the U.S.? Because you're saying maybe his spot on that right wing is is a little bit more competitive than it used to be. He's getting a little bit more long in years.
Yeah, I don't think he fits that. I don't think he's in the midfield for the U.S. national team anymore, especially if Zardes doesn't get to play there or Nagby gets pushed wide. I mean, then you're talking four or five players that could be ahead of him. And the most exciting part about this roster,
yeah.
Bruce Arena, breaking news, Kellen Acosta will be a holding midfielder.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Kellen Acosta, defensive mid, that's, you don't even, if he was making noise right here, it's like it's team chaos, just like body language
I
format
am team
right
chaos
here.
Right now.
Alejandro Bedoya also there in the midfield. Michael Bradley, Benny Fellhaber, which we expected, Jermaine Jones, Kleschen, Legette, Kakuta Mane. I'm pumped to see what he does, although it'll have to be in training, obviously. We'll see what the guys say. Dax McCarty, he's actually getting a late arrival to this camp because he's getting married.
God, Dax, come on. Terrible timing.
What a legend. Dax McCarty in the camp. Going to see what he can do. Darlington Nagby is back. Chris Pontius, as I said. And then Will Trapp up top. Juan Agudelo, Josie Altidore, Josie Morris, Jordan Morris. Jeez, Chris Wondolowski.
Imagine the athleticism that Josie Morris would have, the speed and
Josie
strength.
Josie Morris is a legend. He's an absolute – Josie Morris has an MLS Cup.
That's true.
Josie Morris has an MLS Cup. You're looking at this, okay.
I think Wando's a little question mark for people, but you know what? Anyone who –
he can do a job.
Well, also, anyone who sees a question mark, you look at this roster. Literally everyone is on this roster.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that he's not going to eliminate anyone without seeing them with this camp and seeing them in person for himself for the first time. There's 32 guys. I mean,
it's a big roster.
It's a big roster.
You've got 11v11, and then you're like rotating the third team in.
So that's the one thing I would say if anyone's complaining. Christian Roldan's the one question mark that didn't get there. Bruce said maybe next year, but his job right now is to win two games this spring.
And he's a young guy.
Yeah.
He's still very young, Christian Roldan is. Let's see. Seven players have previously played for Arena on these teams. So DeMarcus, Michael Bradley, Chad Marshall, Nick Raimondo were with the U.S. in his first stint. Managed Josie, obviously, during the time with the Red Bulls, and Legette and Zardes with the LA Galaxy. The big one here, the name that's not here that Bruce is talking about, is Clint Dempsey. Bruce says maybe in March there's a decent chance that Clint could be back playing for the U.S. national team in those qualifiers and for the Sounders.
I find it interesting because if he is back – is he ready to go at a national team level? I mean, he would not have played for how many months that he's been off? And I find it interesting how bullish Arena has been about.
He has been very bullish.
If he's healthy, he's a part of this roster. And, I mean, we didn't know if Dempsey was still going to be a part of this roster outside of this illness.
Right.
Going into this year.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I find it really interesting how bullish he's been about that. A lot of names here are exciting. A few names that you just want to watch play with the higher level. Juan Agudelo is one of those. Darlington Nagby is one of those. I think Benny Fellhaber might be the biggest one. Because if he can pull strings and he gets to play those balls to Josie and Nagby coming off the wing and connect with Bradley in midfield, I mean, that could be pretty exciting to watch.
Fabian Johnson, up and down, those European players not here right now. As I said, two big games for the U.S. national team, January 29th and February 3rd. Serbia and Jamaica, of course, there's nothing at stake there. Those are friendlies, but it's all building up to March. It's building up to Honduras. It's building up to the Hex because they got to get results to kind of put out this little fire that they've got going here, the fire that saw Jurgen Klinsmann forced out of his role as a head coach of the U.S. national team. Speaking of head coaches, Bob Bradley is on the tip of our tongues. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back in the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio here in the aquarium. It's stuffy. It's real hot, Dave. I'm Andrew Wiebe. Of course, we're finishing things off here on this Monday or Tuesday if you're listening to us on SiriusXM FC Channel 85. Just 3 days until the MLS Combine begins on Sunday. And then we've got 8 days until the Super Draft, January 13th in L.A. Big stuff going on there. I did biff it a little bit in the last segment, Dave. I've been on Central Time. I've been on Mountain Time. I'm back on Eastern Time. I'm going to Pacific Time. When I talked about those Combine streams, I said the wrong time. On Sunday, 4:15 Eastern is when that starts. You can listen to us call those games. Same thing on Tuesday. Then you've got a 1 p.m. Eastern start on Thursday, then the Super Draft on Friday. So a lot to look forward to there. Make sure you tune in to all that. It'll be a whole lot of fun, and we'll really kill that coverage next week. So if you're wondering who these guys are, who what teams need, who they might take, we will cover that along with Siggy
also
Schmidt and Matt Doyle.
Also, a lot happens at these things.
Yeah,
coaches
trades.
Are talking.
This is
GMs
when trades happen.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, the hot stove.
So we can talk about all that stuff. We'll be talking about all that stuff throughout.
God,
so
all we're going to do is talk.
It's going to be great. We're going to talk. Two games. Those are also two games each
have you
day.
Been, have you been, like, drinking tea? Are you
Me?
Making sure
I always drink tea
making
with
sure your throat is good?
Oh, yeah.
Lozenges?
Come on, we
okay,
be professional
well,
over
I'll have
here.
To get a little bit of guidance from you on that one. We're going to jump in here. We'll talk about Bob Bradley in a second, but I do want to congratulate Mike McGee, who retires after 13 years in MLS, four teams. He was the 2013 MVP, splitting time between the LA Galaxy and the Chicago Fire that season. In 339 appearances between the regular season and the playoffs, 78 goals, 39 assists, two MLS Cups, two Supporters' Shields, a couple saves milked stuck in there too, a shutout, I think. Mike McGee, the goalkeeper, if you remember that, go look
yeah.
it up. Big career. Good. You know, maybe not the way Mike would have wanted to end, but, man, one of the best in MLS over the last
Clutch
decade
players.
Or so.
Great playoff player. Was a guy that showed up in the big moment. Was a class act. Great part of the league. I think he's going to be a great part of the league still. You can just imagine. I mean, his personality, he's going to be around.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going anywhere. Everybody who talked about him after this just said, hey, Mike McGee, the guy. We just loved him. Michael Bradley saying about that infamous Mike McGee's day off. The only person I'd do this for is Mike McGee. So that tells you a lot about him. Let's jump into the Bob Bradley news. Of course, Michael being his son, Bob Bradley did not last very long at Swansea. A tough end for him there. Just 85 days in charge of the Swans. 11 games, 8 points earned out at Swansea City. We haven't talked about it. It's been kind of, I'm imagining, rumbling around in your brain for a while, Dave. What's the feedback? What's your brain telling you?
Oh, well, it was a terrible decision. They didn't give him a single transfer window to bring players in. The team wasn't good enough when he got there. The issue for him was that the defeats were heavy, right? They were large goal differentials, including the last one against West Ham. So that was the problem. But and Hull just let their manager go as well, although they didn't go through.
I was going to say, they've been in a yeah. even more chaos there. Right. Team chaos. Sorry.
So, no, he didn't get a chance to bring any players in or change anything around, and the team wasn't good enough when he got there, and they're still not good enough now. Of course, they go out and win yesterday,
yeah.
so that makes everything look better.
There's issues top to bottom, I think, at Swansea, and he said that, Bob did, as he left, saying there's a real breach of trust between the supporters and the owners that have come in, these American owners, and you could imagine that, and you could see how Bob maybe took the brunt of some of that frustration, but ultimately the result's not good enough, and I think he would admit that as well. His tenure in the EPL, very short,
but
not
there
even
is,
3 months.
There is no way to tell what type of manager he is.
I agree.
After that, the 10 games, that's it. Like, at the highest level, managers at times barely even can make a difference, but if they were 10 games into the season and he had a summer where he brought players in and was trying to implement a system, it would still be too quickly, but you could say a little bit, okay, maybe you can see it completely going in the wrong direction. But he had basically nothing to do with what's happened so far.
Look, he had some decisions that folks on the ground there didn't necessarily agree with. He tried some things. They didn't work. The Premier League, it's about results, and didn't get him in his time there. We'll see where he lands next. That's going to be very, very interesting because he did say, look, I've been fired before. It's all about landing on your feet. We'll see what he does. Going to the mail, Brian Leach. I thought I was the only one who didn't know this, but apparently you knew this. He said, wait, how'd you guys not know Batman and Superman are DC characters? Time for a pop culture education. I definitely need one of those. Bearded Jack wants to know, who's been the quietest team so far this offseason? When you're looking around, I think the Revs got to be involved in that discussion.
I think Orlando, we already mentioned, and San Jose.
There's been
those
some
the three. Vancouver hasn't done anything.
No,
really.
Vancouver's been pretty quiet too. Toronto hasn't done a ton, but
Toronto's
they didn't
not
really
gonna do
need
a ton.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look around, those are the teams that stand out to me right now. LA still kind of chilling.
Right. There's also the difference between a team's ready to go and a team like,
or at least closer.
Right. Orlando's worrying because, and we were talking about it in the last.
Red Bull's quiet.
They didn't.
NYCFC quiet.
Red Bull has been so quiet. It's almost bizarre how quiet it's been. But some of these teams, you had a poor season last year. You can't stand pat. Some teams don't have
Philly's
a ton of
been
guys
pretty
on
quiet.
Their roster.
I know, Philly's been pretty quiet, but you expect their moves to come in January in this window. Remember, moves stretch all the way into February, even international moves at times in MLS. So just because your team is quiet now doesn't necessarily mean everything is over for you and the season is for naught. A little rumor mill here. Kelvin Loyola saying, Nacho Piatti de Boca is picking up steam in Argentina.
Yeah, I think that's off because that's based on Tevez and Benedetto leaving to replace them, and I don't know that that's happening. So
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so, well, I don't.
I've seriously been in a coma.
I don't think
Benedetto's
leaving.
I was like Jon Snow,
right?
Today, just coming out of.
And now your watch has ended.
Yeah, my watch has ended. It's almost over. We're very close to that. Remember, a big year in 2017 for Major League Soccer, for Extra Time Radio. Tune in to all the Combine, Super Draft stuff. We are just 56 days away until the opening match of the season. That is absolutely insane. But we want to improve in 2017 as well. We really appreciate everyone out there that listens to us. It's really the highlight of my week. I don't know about yours, but interacting with these guys and seeing what you think about the soccer world at large is always really exciting for me. So we're going to try some things this year, but I want to know what you want. Tell us how you'd like to change, what you'd like to give you, whatever it might be. We'll listen to it. We'll think about it. We'll come back with what we hope is a much better product in 2017 for the sake of everyone. And remember, you can use Holler here to get your voice on the show. We want your voices on the show. I want to hear what you have to say. Sometimes reading it can do the job, but look, there's nothing that's going to replace your personal voice. With that, tune into the Combine. Those streams coming up and the Super Draft. We'll see you on Monday. Until next time.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.